going to go on to case number 5, and that is Appeal 014236, the United States versus David J. Stromowski.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is James Geis, and I represent David Stromowski in this case. Mr. Stromowski pled guilty to possession of material containing an image of child pornography, specifically a computer hard drive in this case. Under Statute 2252, capital A, 5, the significance of that is, in this case, that it's the section of that statute that provides for a 5-year maximum sentence as opposed to the other three sections, or four sections in the statute, which are 15.
Can we get right down to the very bottom line question here? Because the plain language of the guideline appears to call for the cross-reference whenever the possessor has received the material. And wouldn't we have to ignore the plain language to adopt your construction?
Well, the way the case is about, and the appellee, that being the government's issue, saying that the plain language is receiving is possessing. And I addressed that in my brief, that the plain language really doesn't, because receiving comes from a parenthetical clause, and it would be inconsistent with the fact that possessing is treated less severely. But the one point that I want to make today is that regardless, you know, this court doesn't need ever to decide that issue, in this case at least. Someday, I suppose, the question of receiving, possessing, why there's a difference in the statute but not in the dictionary, will have to be decided. But the reason it doesn't have to be decided in this case is because, based on the facts of this case and the law of this circuit, my client wasn't a receiver or didn't obtain it. I rely on the Anderson case, which is 3 months ago decided by this court, which was the same district court, virtually the same indictment, the same conduct for sure. And it wasn't a guideline case, the Anderson case, but it was an indictment case. And in the course of this court holding that that indictment was sufficient without using the word possession, the court pointed out that violation of 2252A(b)(5) by the use of a computer is producing, originating. So even under the government's construction in this case, that all receivers are possessors and automatically get kicked over to the higher guidelines, my client would fall under the exception. Now, I'm not saying that makes sense, because I don't think the government's position is sound, that all receivers are possessors.
So let me come at this a different way, because if you start out, everybody seems to agree we start out at 2G2.4 because of what this particular individual was accused of. And there's a difference between the cross-reference language of subpart C2 of 2G2.4 and the language of 2G2.2 itself, the trafficking guideline, because 2G2.4C2 says, the government has left out some interesting words, says if the offense involved trafficking in material involving the sexual exploitation of a minor, parenthesis, including receiving, transporting, shipping, advertising, or possessing material involving the sexual exploitation of a minor with intent to traffic. That phrase, with intent to traffic, doesn't appear over in 2G2.2. The title of the section says something, but the receipt language doesn't say anything about intent to traffic. So I suppose my question is there a difference somehow? If you're originally accused of possession, do we do the cross-reference only if the intent to traffic can be shown? But if you're originally accused of trafficking or possessing with intent to traffic, then we go to 2G2.2.
Well, in my opinion, the intent to traffic language clearly indicates that the cross-reference is supposed to be invoked with something more than mere
something more than mere possession, even though it's pretty hard to conceptualize being a possessor who didn't at some point receive it, you know, unless you made it, and then, as has been pointed out, that would be a different
It happens to
guideline.
Be my case.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, it happens to be my case. But it is difficult to understand how you could have a simple possession, unless you're a producer, without receiving. As far as the English language is concerned, I think your Richardson opinion points out that problem, and I do think it's a problem.
It is a problem, but Richardson didn't get to this phrase about with intent to traffic that appears in the cross-reference, which is what has me worried.
Richardson wasn't really a cross-reference case.
No, it wasn't.
Richardson was under the receiving statute where you have
that's
a 15-year maximum.
That's right.
Here, we're trying to kick a simple possession into receiving. And as I point out in my reply brief, really the substance of this, because I've been thrust in the position of happily by the issue switching, it just doesn't make any sense in statutory construction, because if you look at 2252, which is virtually the same statute, not with the capital A, but before the computers were specifically included, the guidelines specifically treat receiving under the .4, the more severe guideline, and the possession.
2 is the more severe guideline, right? 2G2.2
has
the base offense level.
2, I'm sorry, I misspoke. 2, I keep getting confused.
Who knows why
with all
they
these
put
numbers.
Them in the order they did, yeah.
Right. It's confusing, the lower guideline. But in any event, 2252, the guideline commentary specifically points out that you should treat, under that statute, simple possessor, which my client could have been charged under that statute, under the less severe guideline. And I point out that it would be absurd to think that the guideline is different when it's 2252 capital A, which the government happened to charge my client. It's not a more severe offense. It's the same offense. I can't find any difference here. As far as my client is concerned, in these two statutes. So my point is that the plain language, the statutory construction, tell us that the government's position that receiving equals possession every time there's a handoff or a transfer can't be the intent of this. And more importantly, as far as my client is concerned, it doesn't make any difference in this case, because under Anderson and Angle, I think is how you pronounce the case that preceded in this circuit, there's a distinction that my client happens not to be a receiver. I think it's ludicrous to interpret this to say that the guidelines would be less severe for someone who manufactures than for someone who obtains or receives, seems to me to be more culpable. But in any event, if you take the government's logic, that's where you end up, and my client falls under the exception because he produced it by taking an image and a hard drive and...
Well, all people produce things on computers in that way. If you turn the computer on, you're producing it. I don't know whether he went to a bookstore and bought something and downloaded it from a CD, or whether he downloaded it from the internet or whatever he did. But the point is, the indictment, or whatever it was, that wound up being...
It was an indictment.
Charged him with possession. That much we know.
Possession of a material containing,
right.
So the material would be the hard drive or the file. I'm not sure which.
The file.
It didn't specify.
That's what's in his house, I guess.
And...
hard drive.
And my time is running out. I want to save a minute or two, but the last thing I want to say is that under the government's interpretation, nobody would be covered under this cross reference.
Thank you.
Or under the section. It would all be under the cross reference.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Guy. Fritz Linsky.
Thank you, Your Honors. On behalf of the United States, my name is Laura Shevelinsky-Finn. I'm an assistant United States attorney in the Western District of Wisconsin. I handled this case at the lower level as well. I'd like to deal with the questions asked first with respect to the language set forth in section 2G2.4 in the cross-reference C2. The cross-reference states that if the offense involved trafficking in material involving sexual exploitation of a minor, parentheses, including receiving, transporting, shipping, advertising, or possessing with intent to traffic. That's the exact language.
Yeah. When would the cross-reference not apply? In other words, wouldn't virtually every person who possesses child pornography have received it?
Yes. In fact.
But why do you read the phrase "with intent to traffic" as modifying some parts of this series and not others? And surely you would agree that the phrase involving the sexual exploitation of a minor modifies each one of the verbs, receiving, transporting, shipping, advertising, or possessing. It seems to me, unless you receive with intent to traffic, transport with intent to traffic, ship with intent to traffic, etc., or possess with intent to traffic this prohibited material, the cross-reference doesn't apply. Otherwise, I think we do run into the problem Mr. Geis is talking about, that we might as well not have bothered to write this guideline. Just stick with 2G2.2 and be done with it.
There are a couple of points, I think. First of all, as this court recognized in Ellison, when 2G2.4 first was out, it said receipt and possession of child pornography. A few months later, that was changed and receipt was taken out because receipt was handled by 2G2.2. I think there are situations where somebody falls under 2G2.4 and they simply possess child pornography. For example, if somebody makes child pornography without sexually exploiting a child, that is, takes a picture of kids running around on a beach from far away, or takes a picture at a YMCA of kids playing basketball, and then brings it home to their computer and modifies that picture to turn it into child pornography, that is, zeroes in on the genitals of these children, or in fact, if there is a wrestling match going on, zeroes in on those areas and makes it into child pornography, they would fall under this guideline.
I would think there's another guideline for that.
There is a guideline for that, and my problem is that your interpretation really requires us, in our minds, to delete this phrase, with intent to traffic, from C2, because it's certainly possible to possess something without intent to traffic.
Yes.
That you would agree, right?
I would.
So there is a set of people who somehow or another get it, whether they make it, whether they go and copy it off a CD, whether they get it through instrumentalities of interstate commerce, however they get it. They have it, they possess it, they're never going to let another soul in the world know they have it, and so they aren't intending to traffic.
Right.
So why don't those people stay in 2G2.4, and only the people who have the intent to traffic who are possessors? They're the barterers that, you know, you see, unfortunately, people like this. Those people go over to 2G2.2. Doesn't that make more sense in light of the statutory structure and the language of the guideline?
It may make more sense. However, I think that the guideline does cover receipt under the cross-reference. When someone receives child pornography, they have received it from somewhere. That is, somebody gave that to them.
Why are you saying receiving doesn't get modified by with intent to traffic?
Your Honor, I think if you look at...
I'm staring at it right now.
Right, and I'm looking at the title of 2G2.2, and it follows the language of 2G2.2.
Well, but we're not there yet.
Right.
We are starting out at 2G2.4, and it's possible that the cross-reference doesn't happen in 100% of cases. It happens when the language of 2G2.4 tells us to do it.
And I agree with that. And in reading the language of 2G2.4 and following then the cross-reference down, the cross-reference says apply 2G2.2 and then parentheses says what the title of 2G2.2 is. And it follows the language in the parentheses of the cross-reference, the very last thing being possessing material involving the sexual exploitation of a minor with intent to traffic. That is the very phrase that is in the cross-reference of 2G2.4 C2 telling you to go to 2G2.2 and then addressing the exact title of 2G2.2.
Never mind.
Yeah. In your view, could you have charged him under a different section?
Sure.
Okay. Why didn't you?
While this isn't in the record as part of plea negotiations, one often decides to charge a statute where the maximum penalty is different depending on what the ultimate sentencing guidelines are going to be. In this case, for example, the section that we charged him under had a 5-year maximum penalty.
But by charging him under that section and then using the cross-reference, you deprive him of the opportunity of making whatever defense he might be able to make to the graver guideline section, the 2G2.2. He hasn't been put on notice that he's really being charged by the government with this receiving offense. It's just that you've rephrased it as a possession offense and then decided you're just going to whip over there with the cross-reference.
Well, but the cross-reference is available to everyone. When one looks at the pre-sentence report, he had the opportunity to object to the facts set forth in the pre-sentence report. The sentencing guidelines are set up so that it's reality-based sentencing. He did receive this information. The issue in plea negotiations was, frankly, whether or not he distributed as well as received. Distribution would have added 5 additional levels under 2G2.2, and that would have taken him over the 5-year cap. So what his lawyer negotiated was a charge that capped him at 5 years, depending on what the district court ultimately determined to be the applicable enhancement under 2G2.2. The issue is not whether he received it. And the question, if this guideline does not mean receive, if it's not if you receive, then you're in 2G2.2, then when one looks at 2252 and looks at A2, the actual receiving child pornography, what does that mean any different than this case? I mean,
well,
you have to receive it 10 times?
2G2.2, doesn't it? If you charge somebody with receiving, seems to me the applicable guideline without cross-references or anything fancy is 2G2.2.
But the facts are the same. The facts are that somebody received the child pornography. And at one level you charge receipt and there's a 15-year max. Under the other circumstance you charge possession, but then there is a cross-reference that has to apply to someone that deals with if this material was received, then you're going to go in the other guideline.
If you charge receipt, though, you have to prove it.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Correct. If you charge only possession, you've got a much easier question of proof. We went into his house, we had a search warrant, we seized his hard drive, he possessed it. End of discussion.
Right. And in this case, there had been admissions by the defendant, by his attorney, by the findings by probation, by the court, that he did in fact receive this material. And if the guideline doesn't mean receive, if you can't prove 2252A2 by simply showing that he received it, it doesn't make... He did the same thing. It's the same fact. He could have been charged with receipt. He wasn't, but that doesn't change the fact that he received these materials, notwithstanding Mr. Geis's reply brief.
The cross-reference. That's the thing that frustrates me. The cross-reference is written the way it is.
Well, for example, in this court's decision in Ellison, Mr. Ellison wanted to jump out of 2G2.2 because he was saying, look, receipt's not enough. This court said, yes, it is. You can't just pretend the word received isn't there and that it means receipt with intent to traffic. I would argue that C2 means the same thing. It tracks the language of 2G2.2 to say, look, if any of these things happened in addition to simple possession, then you've got to be in this other guideline. That does make a very small percentage of folks in 2G2.4, including those, I suppose, who we can't prove received the material. You go into somebody's house, there's a stack of child pornography sitting there, you don't know where they got them. You can't prove receipt. They stay in 2G2.4.
I don't think so, but okay.
Unless the court has any other questions?
Thank you. Well, we're going to give you a minute.
I will only take... a minute. Ellison didn't want to jump out of the category. Ellison was an enhancement case. He was charged for receiving under 2 the 15-year sentence. It wasn't a cross-reference case. And Judge Wood, to address your question about the intent to trafficking language, if receiving means possessing, you don't need any intent to trafficking. There wouldn't be any point for having that in there at all. It would just be superfluous. So it has to have some indicia of intent to traffic to kick the cross-reference, and there isn't any in this case. I ask that you remand it to be sentenced under the less severe guideline.
Thank you very much, Mr. Geis.
Thank you,
Ms. Berslinski-Finn, for a very lively argument.
Thanks.